Actually, I do like the idea of people raising their hand too, so that writing the thing out isn't so easy for some people. So go ahead, Michael. You're in charge.
So go ahead. Everybody probably knows by now that you can go ahead and raise your hand in Zoom. The instructions on how to raise your hand are in the chat. So in the beginning of your presentation, you were talking about research on herbs resetting our RNA. Can you speak a little bit more about that? Like how is that accomplished, and what does that mean? What is the significance of that?
It's the RNA of the herbs that can reprogram our DNA.
Okay.
So I remember talking to pediatrician Alan Green just after this came out in 2011. And he and I both agreed this is enormous information. You basically have to rethink the role of food and nutrition, that you're not just taking in vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals, but the RNA in the food that you eat can enter our bloodstream, enter cells, and switch on certain genes. They found one from rice that was could influence the cholesterol production of a liver cell in a human. And this was big news. But I don't think it was actually appreciated by enough people in the world to realize that we have this intelligence from our food. Now, what's interesting is, in talking to Dietrich Klinghart, this is in addition to the answer to your question, he talked about the microbes on fruits and vegetables as another source of intelligence. He said that there was a bunch of studies on St. John's wort, and about half of them showed efficacy and half of them didn't. And then some people figured out that the ones that showed efficacy would still have intact microbes that had grown on the plant, and the others wouldn't. He said to me, "You eat greens, salad, it's healthy. But as roughage, we only actually absorb 5% of it. So what's going on?" He said, "The microbes are attracted to a particular type of food, type of plant. So lettuce or romaine may have its own microbes, or St. John's wort may have some." So he does not wash his organic vegetables because he wants the microbes there. You can decide whether your source is clean enough to make that decision. So if you think about it, now we have all the standard vitamins and minerals, we have the RNA, we have the microbes, we have the biophotons. So if you have something that has all of the minerals in it and the life in it, it's probably been grown from regenerative agriculture, where they develop the microbial biology of the soil so that the plants have all of that vibrancy, and then that gets translated into us, not necessarily in what you can read, although truthfully, the regenerative agriculture organic products have a much higher level of measurable nutrition. But so many cultures, indigenous wisdom cultures, talk about prana or chi in the food. And you can measure biophotons. And there's probably things you can't measure yet that are also carried in the food. So the answer to your question is RNA is one component that's been hidden below the surface for a long time. Now, that one of the risks is they've taken RNA and inserted it, they put DNA, which creates RNA, into apples and potatoes to silence some genes. And if you go to our site and you enter RNAi in the search, you can see an interview I did with Jack Heineman and an article I wrote, where if you eat that genetically engineered potato or apple, it may reprogram your DNA. Because the RNA from one species can influence another species. And I interviewed a USDA scientist who knew this and wrote, while he was on the USDA, a peer-reviewed article that was critical of the approval process for RNA interference pieces inside crops or inside sprays. And he was kicked out of the USDA. There were EPA officials that also, or scientists that also wrote something. Very, very concerned. The EPA just approved RNA interference sprays. You spray it, if it touches or it's eaten by an insect, it'll kill the insect. What if it gets on your skin and gets absorbed? It's RNA. RNA can reprogram DNA expression. So I think it's a disaster. This is an example of another GMO 2.0, which IRT is trying to get the word out on. And our main focus is the most dangerous, which is the microbiome. Go ahead.
So that leads to, you know, a few different questions here. So what is the importance of the concept of living food? Because, you know, it's something that has been thrown around for quite some time, and it sounds very, you know, spiritual and not necessarily scientific based, but based on what you're saying, you know, when you say it without any sort of explanation, but from what you're saying, it sounds like there is a lot of vitality, like it needs to be living so it could feed the microbes, because if it doesn't have the microbes on it, then you may be missing a health component of your food. So how do we ensure our food is living and has the vitality necessary to transmit all the information that nature intended it to?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer, Michael. It's outside of my area that I've been studying for 28 years. I just know my area really well. And it's like I have this plateau of knowledge that's very tall. I step off of it and I fall off a cliff. So I'd rather not speculate. And there's other people that can talk more about these things. I know I was in a Real Truth About Health panel yesterday with Michelle Perro and Stephanie Seneff, and they have expertise beyond mine in different areas. And they talked about ultra processed food as being very, very bad for health and bad for the microbiome. So there's different levels of living and dead.
Absolutely. So now I don't know if you're comfortable speaking on this, but what do you think of the idea that they're considering putting mRNA technology into our food supply?
Yeah, this is an example where they're already putting different RNAs into our food supply, but there they're doing things which are intentionally biologically active. And it's a level of arrogance and sheer stupidity that dwarfs a lot of things. Because we think somehow that science has caught up and that this is the truth. And 5 years ago, we didn't know this. 10 years ago, we didn't know this. 20 years ago, oh, that science was terrible. 100 years ago, dark ages. Well, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, we'll be in the dark ages. So changing the food supply with this type of genetic information can be a disaster. So in soybeans, soybeans are genetically engineered not to die when sprayed with Roundup. They're called Roundup Ready, genetically engineered soybeans. They found that these bacteria growing in a chemical waste dump near their factory, not dying in the presence of Roundup, so they figured let's put it in the food supply, because Roundup is a antibiotic, but this bacterium was not susceptible. So they took a gene out of the bacteria, put it into soybeans. So when they put it in there, in their highly precise technology, which is either using a gene gun, where they shoot millions of tungsten or gold particles with genes on them, or they use bacterial infection, this is what they did originally. You don't know where in the DNA it ends up. You don't actually even study to see if it's exactly where you want it or what you want it. And so after it was put on the market, some independent scientists finally did sequencing of the DNA and found, oh, there's a full gene, but there's also a half gene inserted. We don't know what that is. And then they looked at the RNA, because the DNA produces the RNA, and they found that there were 5 or 6 versions of it, much longer than was anticipated. And that because of something called alternative splicing, they were all different varieties. No one had any idea that that was going on, and it's in our food supply. No one has any idea if that RNA is affecting our DNA expression. So they're already doing that. And then with the apple and potato, they're using very short, called double-stranded RNA, that are specifically designed to silence certain genes. Jack Heineman looked at double-stranded RNA that they were going to create in wheat and found hundreds of pages of similar sequences in the human genome that could be affected if someone ate the double-stranded RNA, and some could might create disease. So they're already putting engineered RNA into GMO products, and now they're doing something that's trying to be biologically active. Now, golden rice is supposedly this poster child of the GMO biotech companies. David Schubert, who he's passed now, but he said, when you create rice with beta carotene in order to try and increase vitamin A, you're using genes that are biologically active. That turns out to be far more dangerous than stuff used just for farming and, you know, weeding. And he pointed out that it could influence the retinoic pathway, which could lead to birth defects and all these things. It's published and peer-reviewed. Here again, we're changing the DNA, changing the RNA in a thing that's designed to be biologically active without fully understanding the consequences. Now, if you're doing it as a drug for a person who's aware of the risks and perhaps it's life-threatening, that's a whole different equation. It's like gene therapy. Gene therapy has killed people because there's the most common result of genetic engineering is surprise side effects. I'm not against the use of gene therapy for individuals who are aware of the risks and take it. Maybe they're going to die if nothing happens and they want to see. That's a whole different equation than putting gene therapy constructs in our food.
So are there any large scale studies that have been done or are being done, or even small scale studies, to study the effects of this type of food? Or really, we just don't really have a great understanding of
when you say this type of food, do you mean GMOs?
Well, about this added on top of the traditional GMOs, but this RNA being put into the food.
Yeah. No, I don't think there has been, but I have not focused on it. So I'd say it's doubtful. And I would also add, it's my opinion that we don't know enough about the DNA to be exposing the population to intentional changes in gene expression through food, even if they did do the studies that they can do now. We just went through a bunch of slides where, you know, many years ago, they didn't know about biophotons. They didn't know about the telepathic elements of DNA. I was talking to that Monsanto guy and I asked him, what if there's quantum mechanical or quantum field effects that we don't even know about? And he couldn't answer the question. So I'm of the opinion that putting it outdoors where it could be unrecallable, or putting it in the food supply,